are here for season two, the debut episode of The Stars Align. And unfortunately for me, and I think for a lot of the Dallas Cowboy fans out there, I wanted to come on the air, and I was about, 20 seconds or so, maybe less than that. I was about 20 seconds from coming on the air with, where is it here? Of course, here it is. I was about 20 seconds from coming on the air.
You did one hell of a job, and the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
Yeah!
But unfortunately, cannot do that. Here with Dustin Bork, the Overtime.News co-founder here, and what we're going to be doing is giving you an hour-long recap every single week after Dallas Cowboys game, and this is the first one of those commercial-free for you, so you don't have to sit through commercials and turn us off. Just listen to us talk for a couple hours, and we'll try to give you the best available analysis without using too much emotion and putting too much into it. But Dustin, are you there with us, bud? I know we got Jeremy calling in, but I don't see him on the line yet.
Yeah, no, I got nothing better to do right now.
I hear you. Overall, the Dallas Cowboys family who may be listening here, Facebook group, one of them said a very good line. And I'm going to use that line right now. That is that I don't feel the total doom that I felt last year. I don't feel the complete, oh, my God, we don't have Tony, we're going to be a top five draft pick doom.
I can't wait to address that.
Well, I don't. I don't feel I feel like our defense certainly needs to be addressed. But, I mean, you look at Dak Prescott, what did he have, 235 yards? What was he? I think something – I got to look at the official stats. I think it was like 23 of 40 or something. I mean, he didn't have a bad game. In fact, Dak Prescott did just about enough. I'm not going to say he did everything he could do to win the game, but he kept us in the game for sure. If those, you know, the Beasley drop on the first series probably would have attributed to more points. A couple of overthrows to Beasley here and there, but overall, he did not lose the game for us. And that is what has been happening to us so often. The defense we knew coming in was going to be, our weak spot. We knew it was going to be our weak spot. We knew coming into this game that we had to keep the run game going, waste a lot of clock time, and keep that defense off the field so that they don't get exposed. And for the first half, okay, we had a 22-7 time of possession lead. And then in the second half, we come out, we start off the second half with the interception, defense playing well, finally getting pressure on Eli. We get the Zeke touchdown, and I'm like, here we go. Okay, 19-13, 6-point lead. I wasn't quite comfortable with the 6-point lead, but I was like, you know what, we got the lead. There we go, you know. But again, that with this Giants receiving core that they have and the secondary that we have, not necessarily comfortable with any lead unless it's double digits or two scores at least.
Chris, I want to address the time of possession real quick, okay?
Okay.
Time of possession, 36 minutes, 43 seconds for the Cowboys, 23 minutes, 17 seconds for the Giants, and the majority of that was, I won't say the majority, but I'll say a large chunk of it was Eli with the last 7 minutes of the game trying to end it, trying to milk that game out. Right. So I have an issue with the fact that I see a bunch of memes online.
We're going to hear from Giants fans all week. You already know it's coming.
It's not even that. I can tune them out because I know that they're garbage. Like the fact that we had no The fact that we had no quarterback, okay, and we lost by a point, and we dominated the entire game. I'm sorry. I hate to break it to anybody who's on the Prescott train, but when you're checking down the whole game, check down, check down, check down, check down, and then you start throwing deep passes to Dez that are out of bounds. And then I get a little
overthrowing
frustrated.
Beasley.
I get a little frustrated because Granted, I'm a big guy that says you get your hands on the ball, you should catch it. So that's two or three of those are Beasley's fault because those are drops.
I want to remember how much time is on the clock at the end of the game to run out of bounds, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, well, and that is not a Dak Prescott. That's Terrence Williams. That's his fault. That wasn't – Dak did his best to march them down the field, and he actually did pretty well. My biggest thing was time of possession. I saw a lot of memes online. Oh, if Cowboys fans be like, if Romo would have played, we would have won by 30. I'm not going to lie. Our time of possession with Tony Romo, 36 to 23 like this, if we didn't win by 30, that would be a gigantic, like a shot to the balls. If you got your best,
I think so.
You got your best offense out there, and you dominate the time of possession, dude. This was Chris. I'm not even joking around, man. When we did Satellite Sunday Sports Roundup, and you asked me how you feel about the Cowboys coming in, how you think they're gonna do this year, and I was excited about the Ezekiel Elliott pickup, and we'll certainly gonna address that later because God damn it, I want to kick him in the face. But the fact that I said all we got to do is go circa 2014, dominate the time of possession, run the ball, play action every now and again, we got the W. Dude, we had this game locked up in more ways than one. And all we had to do was find a way not to lose it, and we couldn't do it. And it starts with the fact that we drafted a halfback with the number 4 pick to run behind the quote-unquote best O-line in football. I never want to hear that ever again. You can't run for more than 50 yards when you are hyped out of your mind as a running back, and you've got the greatest O-line in football, and you literally are running like Trent Richardson out there. What's his face? The terrible halfback that got laughed out of the league. Nobody wants to
Richardson,
touch him.
Yeah, Trent Richardson.
He's running like Richardson. There's gaps left and right, and he's magnetically drawn into the pile of dumb guys wearing blue. I couldn't believe it. And then Alfred Morris comes in for 7 carries and damn near outrushes him. I couldn't believe it. So time of a possession, huge letdown. We dominated. We lost.
Mm-hmm.
We got a
well, think about
back.
It. It was
we got at a high price, Chris. We got a running back at a high price. Fourth overall pick. Huh?
He's a goddamn rookie. What do you think Elliott's really going to do in his first season? Do you think he's going to rush for 150 yards in his first game? Come on, he's not even.
I think it would be foolish to expect anything lower than that.
You got 3 running backs on this team. You don't need 3 running backs. If you want Elliott to be the star, you got to cut one of them. You don't need all of these.
No, I don't. Now I don't want to cut him. I'm not going to lie because I'm not sold on Elliott anymore. I don't want to cut. I want Alfred Morris starting next game. If I'm Jason Garrett, I'm not giving that. I'm not giving the self-proclaimed, you know, fucking. He thinks he went on record by saying he's gonna break the rushing title, and he comes out with 50 yards, behind the best O-line in football. Jeremy, I'm sorry, dude. Yeah, I expected 150 yards minimum out of him because that's behind the best O-line in football. Who said that anybody could run behind that O-line? Anybody could. Well, certainly a kid coming out of a power college, correct? Chris is my college football guy. What school did he go to, Chris?
Ohio State.
There's no denying Elliott's talent. Dude, Elliott had the talent. But I don't want to hear anymore about how great Dallas offensive line is. That's a bunch
they're
of
gone. No,
now.
Me neither. I'm done. Best O-line in football?
Even I, as a Giants fan, have said I think the Dallas offensive line is best football. But guess what? I was wrong. If Romo can't stay on the goddamn field, Elliott
overrated.
Got 50 yards left.
Overrated.
They had 3 running backs that have all had 1,000 yards, and they couldn't get more than 50 yards.
People, it is time to sit back and realize how goddamn special DeMarco Murray was, and the fact that Jerry Jones once again bombed. Once again, and whether it was Jerry or Steven, I don't know, but everyone's going
to auto-blame
Jerry.
What did Murray do today?
Jerry.
Murray didn't do
everyone's
anything
gonna
today
auto-
for Tennessee, though.
What are you talking about? First of all,
he got a touchdown.
Points fantasy football, but he did what he always does. He pounds that rock, and then he made some catches out of the backfield. What did Ezekiel Elliott do out of the backfield today after catching the football? Nothing. Negative yards. Dog
besides
shit.
That one touchdown
he
that he had that actually
thing.
Was a really good play reversal that he actually should have been down
no,
way
it was
in the
a
backfield
counter run
and made
play.
Something
it
out.
Was not, it was a counter run play. Big deal. It was a counter run. I mean, come on, dude. Any halfback in the league should be able to do that. My point is, Alfred Morris had more impressive runs this game than Ezekiel Elliott,
Morris is a beast. I mean, you remember, you've been watching the Cowboys just as long as I have, maybe a little bit longer because you're a little bit older.
He had two good years with Washington, and then he fizzled.
No, three. He had three. He was
he's
been in the league for 4 years.
This, like 2 years ago.
Yeah, well, this is his fifth year. Okay, I believe, anyway.
No, you're way off.
Is it his fourth?
This is his fourth year. His first 2 years, he had well over
1,000
yards.
And then
he had
800.
800.
Yeah, okay. That's still a solid season, and that's because he had only 800 because he split carries with Matt Jones. So I really honestly feel like he's running like a man possessed.
I'm frustrated.
He's pissed that Washington let him go.
I'm frustrated, and I think Chris might have had something with his Jalen Ramsey pick, watching how awful our defense is.
Are you guys giving up on Elliott after one freaking game?
I'm not. I'm disgusted, Jeremy. I am disgusted.
As a Giants fan, I don't think he played that bad. I mean, there wasn't exactly any hold function.
He ran like the guy we're going to watch do it in about 45 minutes, LeGarrette Blount. He ran like a power back, and he's barely 6 feet tall. He didn't try to go outside. Now, I don't know. Yep. Now, again, we can chalk this up to our wonderful fucking retarded coach that we got here. But he didn't have a single outside run play, and then the second they called him something to the outside, it was a touchdown. He's not a power back. Just in case any of the coordinators haven't figured that out, he's not a power back.
I think another thing I've heard about is actually the Giants defense finally showed up for a goddamn game. They actually showed me a lot in this game today. They showed up,
Jeremy, but we can all admit that they are not a good defense. So that's what makes this more embarrassing, is my point.
Way overpaid. Overpaid defense, for sure.
They're not overpaid. They have two overpaid players. They're not an overpaid
defense. That's what I'm saying.
They
spent $200 million in the offseason. Well, it's been $200 million in the offseason. What did they do?
How about that Bacon signing?
It was nice to see nobody get burned for a 70-yard touchdown on the freaking
ground. Exactly. So I'll tell you what. If you're going to pay think about it like this, Chris. If you're going to pay $15 million to keep a guy like Dez Bryant out of the end zone, I think it might be worth it because guess what? It worked, and we can't win.
Dez should have been in the end zone.
Dez Bryant had one catch for 8 yards. That's bullshit.
Well,
Dez
should have been in the end zone, but Dez can't seem to figure out how to hit the ground without securing the football. I don't know if it's still in his mind from Green Bay or what's going on.
No, it's a lot tougher than you think. It has nothing to do with mental. It's all circumstantial. If a guy's hanging all over you when you hit the ground and then he can bobble it, it's not Dez's fault.
Dez is a top five wide receiver, right? I think everybody thinks Dez is a top five wide receiver.
Yeah.
I think top 10 is definitely, but I think a lot of people would say top five. I think if you would put another top five receiver in that situation. Now, I know Dustin's not high on this guy, but you put a guy like Antonio Brown, who I think is the consensus number one receiver in the NFL, despite Dustin not thinking so, a guy like that, or you put in another, let's say a big possession receiver, who are the guys in Tampa Bay there? Vincent Jackson, Mike Evans, those guys. Mike Evans, another guy. I'm not saying he's top five. I'm just saying he has a body style similar to Dez.
Evans is 6'5". They're about the same. They're virtually the goddamn same.
Yes.
Big deal. The
and
helmet
those
is
guys,
2 inches higher.
Those guys
they're the same
guys. But you don't see those guys dropping those balls. Okay?
No,
if Dez catches
that
ball,
Chris, we win
this game. It's a completely different radio.
Yeah, but those quarterbacks are giving him better passes. Let's be honest. What passes Bryant get are up through his asshole. I don't know how you can catch a ball like that. You got to give Brian a little bit of credit.
The pass that Dez caught in Green Bay, he had to go up and get it over a cornerback. Okay, he had to stretch out for the thing. So he made it a remarkable catch to do that. So don't say it doesn't seem that Dez – no. He made that catch, and then by advancing the ball, it turned into not a catch. So he did make that one.
It was the same thing today.
My point was this – no, it wasn't today. What are you freaking talking about? Today
he went up, he came down, and he came down.
He didn't stretch another 4 yards to make it a touchdown.
As soon as his forearm hit the ground, the ball popped loose.
Because if you have the ball cradled and you land on top of it, Chris, I don't care if you're the strongest man in the world, the air from the ball hits the ground, it's going to shoot out. And then if you take the defender's arm and stick it in there and have him ripping out at the same time, it's going to bobble. The fact of the matter is even after the bobble, he still secured it. It's just that now in the NFL, if it bobbles at all, it's no longer secure and it's no longer a catch. He's just playing in the wrong era, apparently.
Jeremy, you see what happens? The most positive, cowboy positive person on this radio show actually is a Giants fan, which is funny. But Jeremy, you know what's funny here is, and you know this well from the Sports Roundup shows and the Satellite Sunday shows when Dustin comes on. I'm pretty optimistic. I'm a pretty optimistic guy. I'm like, you know what? It's a long season. This is a team that, you know, we could have lost by a lot too with the offensive weapons, this and that. I'm not feeling the doom. I'm feeling Prescott. I'm feeling this. Dustin's got me sort of now thinking more in this negative, negative light. And, you know, I'm going to get off the Dustin soapbox for a second. I'm going to tell you, I'm not upset. I mean, he's embarrassed. I'm not. Yes, I hate being 0-1. Well, I'm saying I hate being 0-1. Sure, who doesn't?
Listen, it was a good game. I mean, Prescott is a rookie. I thought he actually looked decent. I mean, he had some good throws. Some of them weren't great, but the Giants put the pressure on him in the fourth quarter.
Didn't lose because of Prescott, but we didn't win because of him.
No, Prescott was not the reason we lost the game. I'll tell you something, though. Your kicker, Bailey, is the best kicker I've ever seen, for Christ's sake. This guy's throwing 60-yard kicks up somebody's ass. I'm really impressed with him, by the way. The problem is, you didn't score any touchdowns today. You guys have four possessions, and the Giants held the field goal. Any one of those possessions, they scored a touchdown, the Dallas would have won the game. They beat themselves today. That's how Dallas lost it.
And not only that, but think about the stupid penalties. Well, think about the stupid, you know, the holding penalties and the false start penalties that we consistently
kick ourselves. Yeah, the Giants had their fair share of. Now, this isn't 2008 with what's-his-face, that fat bastard that went to the Steelers on our O-line that was god-awful. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Like, Romo's first set of O-linemen, all the fat guys that all went on and they were just penalty machines and lost us a game in the final possession in Washington one year. Season. I mean, these are not – so we had penalties. The Giants had very bad penalties in key moments also. The Giants had a couple holding calls that ended up making long yard, you know, third and whatever, and that they didn't convert. Mm-hmm. The fact is we still have no pass rush. We couldn't get to Eli enough. We got to him a couple times randomly, and that was only when what's-his-face decided to finally dial
again,
up the
four of our starters. Well, four of our starters are out here.
Think about that, though. Even our starters, they're just B guys, all right? They're just average. We don't have a single game changer that's going to pass rush the ball. We don't have a Bennett. We don't have a Wilfork, right? We don't have a J.J. Watt. We don't have guy that's going to single-handedly make an offense game plan for him. We don't have a Kegley. You know, we don't have a Tamba Ahali. We don't have anybody. We've got Randy Gregory serving a four games. Who cares?
DeMarcus
Lawrence. He wouldn't have had jack shit anyways. Gregory could have been out there. Gregory had all the hype in the world last year wearing DeMarcus's Ware's number, and he didn't do crap.
How do you feel about then the only turnover of the ball game? And you know, these two teams, there tends to be a lot of stupid turnovers. Today there was only one. And that is the Eli Manning interception, and it was your buddy Carr. Now we all know how you feel about Derek Carr. Carr provided
it's Brandon Carr.
That's what I said, Brandon Carr. I said Brandon. My mic's cutting out. I'm serious. I know who he is. With Brandon Carr, so you don't like him, but he provided that spark that ended up, you know, getting us the lead and blah blah blah. I really think that if you go up against a team like the Giants that has a Victor Cruz, despite not playing in a long time, still obviously, as you saw today, has it, an Odell Beckham, who's a top five wide receiver, a guy like Sterling Shepard, who's going to be a great slot receiver, he's fast, he's whatever, going out and getting a guy like a Jalen Ramsey, who I wanted to get from day one, who had a great game against Green Bay today, I really, really want to be able to have that shutdown corner. Mo Claiborne played well. Scandrick did what he could do. But, you know, we saw Carr get beat a couple times. We saw that, you know, guys wide open. But he did what he had to do. He got beat a couple times. He made a couple plays. But either way, we saw a secondary that is Swiss cheese. Okay, we saw a linebacker unit that couldn't stop the run once they got past the initial line of scrimmage. And, you know, I just think that this defense, our offense, fine. Okay, in my opinion. With who we have on offense, I mean, Beasley played his heart out today. Yeah, he had a couple drops, and yeah, Prescott a couple to Mars that he had to try to go up and get. But Beasley played okay today. Williams, you know, his stupid play at the end of the game, which we'll get to here towards the end, you know, whatever. Okay, we all know what Williams can do. Dez, we know what he can do when he's open. Beasley played his heart out. You know, Witten was the leading guy. Offense is fine. Morris is running like a man possessed. I think Zeke will come along. We're going to have to tailor this offense somehow around Dak for the first 6 or so weeks. So that's fine. Okay, I'm not upset about our offense. I think we moved the ball okay. I think last year we couldn't get –
not get upset with an offense that can only kick field goals, Chris?
Okay.
That's unacceptable.
But here's the thing. Last year with Kellen Moore in, we would get a touchback. Okay, we couldn't get the ball past the 50. Okay,
it doesn't
matter.
Big deal. So instead of a complete moron, you got somebody who's okay. My point is this and this is goes back to what I said months ago when we talked about
245 yards passing. That's not bad.
I said this. I said we need to dominate the time of possession, and we need to rely on our offense to hide our defense, our defensive deficiencies. So if we can't rely on that offense, this entire team is absolute trash, okay? Because Tony Romo, Dez Bryant, DeMarco Murray hid how terrible this defense was in 2014. They hid it so well that we won 12 games due to that. So if we can't hide that defense, keep them on the sidelines, move that ball, get 10-yard rushes, 15, 20, break off for a touchdown here or there. If we cannot do that stuff on offense, if all we can do is put up field goals, that doesn't scare anybody. Chris, if we had a 14-3 lead in the first quarter, Eli would have been sitting there picking his nose, calling up Peyton, asking him what to do. But we didn't. All he had to do was put some BS Super Bowl magic together, and boom, 7-6. We bust our ass for 6 points, one quick dump pass to the tight end after a Beckham-blown coverage, boom, and they got a one-point lead. It was too damn easy, Chris. We couldn't put up points. Our offense will dictate our season. Ezekiel Elliott looks like trash. We have an issue.
That we do, but, again, it is a first game. I'm reading it. I saw it. It is our first game. I'm chalking it up to being our first game. And I'm chalking up to us having the fourth easiest schedule, in the entire league.
Exactly.
I think that'll help us out. I think that'll help us out a little bit. I mean, I don't think the Giants are as bad. And Jeremy's charging his phone. He'll call back in a second. I don't think the Giants are as bad as we initially thought that they were.
Are you kidding me?
I really don't.
Did you see that interception by Eli Manning? You're going to tell me that they are not as bad as we thought that we are. That was one of the dumbest throws I've ever seen since Romo to Darrell Revis on 9/11. Are you kidding me?
That was
You're
going to
tell me that the Giants, Rashad Jennings? Really? Who's the coach? Some retarded porn star over there with his mustache, Ron Jeremy wannabe? Are you kidding me? This is who you're going to tell me that is the best team in our division?
I didn't say they're the best team in our division. I just said they're not as bad as
garbage.
We came into the game thinking they were.
The Giants are garbage. The freaking Redskins are a better team than the New York Giants, Chris.
And we got them next week. So, you know, I really don't like the matchup next week with DeSean Jackson being out there. But I definitely would love to have had a lockdown guy like a Jalen Ramsey. I think we had a Darren McFadden who, at the time when we drafted Zeke, McFadden was healthy. And I'm sitting there thinking, all right, now we got three potential 1,000-yard rushers. Two have already proved it. One who says he's going to prove it. What do we need that for? No, we need secondary help. Okay, and then McFadden goes down, and God knows when he's going to be back. And now we're like, okay, now it's good to have, you know, obviously two running backs. You can't have Morris do everything. So now you're like, okay, now it makes a little bit more sense. But I still would love to have a little bit of that that lockdown second. We've never had secondary ever. As long as I can remember being a Cowboy fan, and that's an awful long time, secondary has been our problem. Secondary has been our issue, and we have done absolutely zero. I thought Byron Jones was going to be the answer, but he's one guy. He can't do it all. I think he's okay. I don't think he's what we touted him to be, taking him in the first round. But, you know, hey, who knows? He's young still. But I think that the secondary has not been addressed, and I think that this is all about the offense, all about the flair with this team, all about the splash pick of the Ezekiel Elliott and the, you know, all-time leading rusher at Ohio State and what he was in college last year and how electric he was. Jerry getting big dollar signs in his eyes saying, you know what, we can make something happen with this, instead of looking at what it is that we really need. We might honestly have, and I'm not making this up, we might honestly have a bottom five defense in the league. What did we finish, 15th last year? We might have a bottom five defense this year, honestly, because, you know, this offense cannot stop anybody through the air. Okay, last season, our one saving grace was we were pretty okay against the run last year. In fact, we were pretty damn good against the run. This year, did you see how the Giants ended up winning that game? I mean, they pounded the ball. I thought for sure we were going to get some stops, get the ball back with like a minute and a half, whatever left to go. Nope. Could not stop Rashad Jennings. Used our timeouts. I felt like we didn't
exactly.
use our timeouts
properly. Let
that sink
properly. In. Let that sink in what you just said.
Well,
I
know.
Who?
And
who couldn't we stop?
Actually him and Shane Vereen too, the former Patriot.
Exactly.
But I really don't think we used our timeouts properly. I mean, I understand you got to stop
nope.
the clock.
Nope.
But what I think
terrible
we did was we used that third timeout too quick because we had the 2-minute warning coming. We had them stopped. Had we had that final timeout, we could have used it there when Williams decided he didn't know how to count.
No, we wouldn't used it earlier.
Stayed in bounds. I don't know about
there.
That. I really don't. I really don't think. I really don't know if we would have. I think they were waiting until they got close enough to the field goal to you know, if that had happened. They had waited to get close enough to the field goal to give Bailey some time to set up. I think we would have saved it had we had it, but we didn't have it. And, you know, when we were calling the time, we called our first of our final three timeouts with 3 minutes left in the game.
Yeah,
and I was like, we don't – I was like, we don't need to do that.
I hate
We've got
that
a minute
strategy.
And a half
I hate,
and
the
2 minutes.
People that take it on the north side of the fucking two-minute warning. I hate that.
Why? Why would you do that? Because
people want to
save those timeouts.
As much time on the clock. That's all. They feel like there's more game when they see the 1 minute up there, 2 minute up there. They feel like the more game left, the more time there is for stuff to happen.
Had we saved them, we probably honestly, I'm not making this up here. Had
no,
we
they
saved
brought
them,
it down, they still would
have
brought it
down.
We
would have won the football game. We would have won the football game.
Because we used them to stop the clock, which made them run more. You get what I'm saying? If we didn't use them, they wouldn't have continued. You know what I mean? Like, the clock would have been gone. Like, the two-minute warning comes up. Then they would have milked it down. They would have given them the ball with, like, yeah, we would have had a timeout, but instead of a minute, they would have had 30 seconds. You know what I'm saying? So, you sacrifice the timeout for the time that they would have milked. So it's like, I understand what you're saying, but by not getting two straight third-down stops, that royally screwed us.
And getting stops has been an issue for us for a long time, unfortunately. And, you know, I feel like we played well enough to win the game, but I'm not gonna take it away from the Giants. I mean, they do have a deadly receiving core when they're on. Obviously, the Giants' big concern was the offensive line and what they were going to do with their run game. Because Vereen's a B-minus guy. Rashad Jennings, I think, is a C-type guy. And then they had issues with defensive line. They spent $200 million on the offseason on their defense, and they obviously have Eli and then that receiving core. The weakest part of that Giants team is their offensive line. And honestly, I think the offensive line played better than our offensive line played today. Mm-hmm. They protected Eli more, and they gave Eli, who is a veteran quarterback, has been in the league multiple years, a lot more time to throw. Now, Dak didn't get sacked today. So Dak had a lot of time to throw the ball too. But when you've got a rookie trying to throw the ball against a new and improved defense into the sun for most of that fourth quarter, You know, it's going to be a lot different than a two-time Super Bowl winner who's been in the league almost 20 years.
Can
so
we discuss the billion-dollar playpen that doesn't have shades? Like, are you kidding me? I've never seen a home court advantage. I've never seen a home court advantage against the home team. Like, Witten had catches. He never drops. They were hitting him, like, damn near right near his head. And he couldn't see. He was looking directly into the sun because of the stupid-ass windows Jerry decided to put at the north and the south of the building.
Well, we never really play. If you look at our schedule, a majority of our games are 1 p.m., or if they're 4:25, they're on the road, or they're nighttime games. So I think he built that
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, but, you know, again, it's about the flash, man. It's a $1.3 billion stadium. So,
what does windows have to do with flash? Are you kidding me? There's no flash
if you're
losing games.
You've seen that stadium. I'm saying it looks cool from a fan perspective.
Yeah,
all
you don't need to leave the shades down all day. You just put them down so your damn quarterback and your receivers can see.
It's like when you
open and close the dome. If it starts raining, you close the damn top of the freaking roof, you know?
I honestly do feel like the way Jerry is and as impulsive as Jerry Jones is, I really honestly feel like after what happened today, there might be some damn shades on there. I guarantee Jerry's going to be looking at that saying, you know what? He's going to find every excuse in the book.
Even Buck said it. Buck's like, dude, they can't even look at – they're staring right into the sun. Buck freaking said it on the live broadcast. There's no way Jerry's not going to know about that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Either way, those of you who did want to call in, I know some of the Cowboys family is listening. If they are, great. We appreciate it. If not, you know, whatever. But if you do want to call in, give us anything, 26 minutes left to go here. Doing a one-hour commercial-free today. Today has been a little bit more of a bitch fest. I do promise. Well, yeah, well, I'm going
to.
I said today has been a little bit more of a bitch fest. Hopefully, we won't have too many like this. But just like Dallas did today, we're working out the kinks still as well. This is a new format set up for us. So if you do want to call in, 713-955-0359. Again, that's 713-955-0359. Just give us a quick call. Give us a little analysis. Jeremy, the Giants fan, is going to be back on here with us again in a minute once his phone charges. But another thing that
Jeremy,
Giants
fan, that's funny.
Yeah, the giant man. And he is a giant man, too, if you've ever seen his profile photos. Sorry, Jeremy, but he is. But if you look at this today, here's what I take away from it. I mean, honestly, I know, Dustin, you know, we're basically, for those who don't know us, who haven't listened to our shows before in the past, we are the yin and the yang. I mean, Dustin is right now for Dustin, call it passion, if you will. But right now, the world is ending for Dustin. We're finishing 2-15. We suck. We're awful.
Dude, I didn't even
want to
do the show.
He didn't want to do the show. He's disgusted. He probably – I'm surprised he didn't break – you know, I'm surprised he hasn't, you know, went on a rampage to the house. Whereas with me quoting – and I got to scroll up here on my phone to see who said it from the Cowboys family. But I'll give you your props if I find it. But they said a good line. I don't feel the doom I felt last year. I don't. I honestly don't. I really think this team can win a couple of games before Romo comes back. And it's a very, very long season. I mean,
a couple
playing,
of games before Romo comes back. Romo's supposed to come back week 7, so we're gonna be 2-5.
I'm not okay.
Thank you.
Don't take a couple as literally. I'm just saying I think that this team, honestly, can sit around 500. I really do, and I hope they're better, but I really think that 500 is a reasonable shot for when he gets back, and with a schedule as easy as ours is, okay. I really, really just – I'm optimistic. I feel like –
God,
the division,
that makes it more embarrassing, Chris. That makes
the division we're in is trash.
With the schedule as easy as ours is, and we can't even win against the Giants on opening night.
Well, it's
that's like playing
well,
the Browns.
You seem to think the Giants
that's like
aren't
playing the Browns in the Super Bowl, and we couldn't get the job done. Like,
again, 713-955-0359. I honestly don't feel that this Giants team, honestly, and I'm not saying that I'm a closet Giants fan or whatever. This Giants team is not as bad as you seem to think that they are. I'm going to stick to that. I didn't say they're the best team in the division. I didn't say that they're going to the Super Bowl this year. I didn't say that this is the best team in the league or anything like that. I think that this team is better than you are giving them credit for right now. Okay? And so that's where I'm sticking it at. And Washington is a very darn good team as well. But if I'm looking at what we've got here, okay, and you look at the offense that we had today, okay, and the ability once Dak Prescott, you know, sort of shakes the cobwebs off a little bit and gets his feet under him and gets, you know, the receivers get on the routes on time with him and all that, and he's able to sort of calm down and relax in this offense a little bit. You look at this Dallas Cowboys schedule. Let me pull it up here. It's good old internet is never the fastest. Here it is. So you've got the Redskins next week. Okay, that's always a tough game for us. Giants and Redskins is always a barn burner. It's always low scoring, and it's always just a hard-hitting, dramatic, beat-up game. If we win, great. If we don't, obviously 0-2, we're in a hole. Maybe then we're in some trouble. But then you've got the Chicago Bears. Okay, the Chicago Bears, they are a team that is what you just call the Giants, which is trash. They are that team. You get San Francisco 49ers, probably the worst team in the league, or at least one of them. Okay, so worst case scenario in my mind, 2-2 at that point. Okay, worst case. And that is October 2nd, so that's week 4. Okay, Cincinnati Bengals, who squeaked past a overrated Jets team today, I think is a beatable team. I don't think Cincinnati is what they were. Their whole receiving core has been gutted. I really honestly think that that's a winnable game for us. Then Green Bay. So that's right there is 3-2. Green Bay at Green Bay, that's always a tough one for us. Worst case scenario, I'll say 3-3. Bye week, Romo's back, bada bing. Eagles, trash. Browns, trash. Steelers, going to be a tough one. Ravens are beatable. Washington again. Minnesota's tough. Giants again, who we showed today were beatable. Bucks, who was going to be tough. Lions beatable. Eagles beatable. So, I mean, honestly, I'm not nervous about this. I'm really not. I'm not sitting here like I was when Romo went down last season in week 2, saying to myself, oh my God, what are we going to do? You know, oh my God, we're not going to get the ball past the 25-yard line. We're going to have 100 total yards of offense. We're going to score 3 points a game. Oh my God. You know, I'm not saying that this year. And that is an alleviating feeling to me. It's not necessarily the fact that I'm saying, oh my God, Dak Prescott's going to, you know, be a Hall of Famer and he's going to go and lead us to the Super Bowl and rah, rah, Dak Prescott. No, he's played one game. One game that mattered in his career. Sure, he dazzled in the preseason, but it's preseason. He's played one game in his career now outside of college that has mattered and didn't do too bad. 0 interceptions, 245 passing yards, had a positive passer rating. I think it was, what, like 30 of 42 or something like that. So, I mean, the guy did not have – you cannot say Dak Prescott had a bad game. Did Dak Prescott have a terrific game? Did he have a swell game? Did he have an all-star caliber, you know, Pro Bowl game? No, but he did not have a bad game. And in fact, Dak Prescott outplayed Eli Manning for 3 quarters. He did. And he outplayed him for 3 quarters. Eli, being the veteran, came alive in the fourth quarter like veteran quarterbacks do. Okay, especially against a bad defense. So I'm not crucifying Dak Prescott. Touching on your point, and again, Jeremy's calling in here, but 713-955-0359. Touching on your point about Ezekiel Elliott, yeah, I was a little like, huh? This is what we spent the number 4 pick on? You know, but then when he had the touchdown, I was like, okay, you know, sure, we scored, whatever, you know. But I didn't see that electricity. What I saw was, like you said, running into the blockers, getting swallowed up. I saw a lot of times when he thought to himself, I got to use my legs, I got to use my speed, tried to pop to the outside when the outside wasn't there, okay, and could have cut back and hit a hole, but instead tried to loop it to the outside because that's what he's used to. Okay, so I think a lot of that wasn't necessarily the fact that Zeke can't run or isn't. I just think he made rookie mistakes, didn't see the holes. The game is played a lot faster than – I know you don't watch college football. The NFL game's a lot faster than the college football game is. The guys hit a lot harder, and they close out holes a lot quicker. So I think, again, it all comes with timing. The dude's a rookie, okay? I think as the season progresses a bit, okay, you took a guy like Darren McFadden who was fading into the abyss, okay, and turned him into a 1,000-yard rusher last season. Now,
Darren McFadden
we had
is
to.
A lot faster than Ezekiel Elliott.
Sure, he's faster, but I'm not saying he,
so
I'm not necessarily saying he's a better running back.
No, but those holes that you're saying that are closing
back.
Up quicker,
he was.
McFadden hits him a lot faster. Ezekiel Elliott
well,
is shorter to the ground,
just
but wider.
McFadden saw the holes because, see, a lot of the time I was watching and I rewinded the TV several times and saw that there were holes there that were created that Zeke saw, for some reason thought against, or maybe didn't see, and tried to bounce to the outside and got wrapped up. So it was...
I only saw him bounce to the outside like three times, and it didn't work. And then the one time...
Yeah, I saw him do it more than that.
But this is my point, though. The one time there was a designated outside run, it was a touchdown. So if this is a coaching problem, which I wouldn't put it past it, because our coach is just a joke, then it needs to be addressed. Because this kid is not a power back. He is not an eye formation up the gut back. He is not... LeGarrette Blount. He's not Jerome Bettis. Okay, he's not Adrian Peterson. Give him pitches. Give him outside runs. Give him counters. Give him screen passes. Do not give him – everything was up the middle, dude. Everything. And the only back that we have on the staff that is an up-the-middle back is Alfred Morris, which is the only guy that was capable of breaking two of them off for a big game. He has the longest run of the game, Alfred Morris. Not our fourth overall pick. That could have gone to Bosa. That could have gone to Ramsey. No, not
well,
those
Bosa,
guys. No.
After what Bosa did with the Chargers, I don't want anything to do with Joey Bosa.
It wouldn't have happened with the Cowboys because guess what? The Chargers are a dog shit franchise. That wouldn't have happened with the Cowboys. Jerry would have paid him or wouldn't have even been an issue.
I'm just saying.
Nobody
he
wants
rubbed
to
me
go
the
to
wrong
San
way.
Diego. When a guy like Eli Manning refuses to be drafted there, that's how you know how good the San Diego Chargers franchise is. But that's neither here nor there. The problem that I have with your thinking about the schedule, and I'm looking at it right now, is the same problem I had with your thinking last year. Oh well, boom,
my
Romo's
optimism?
Back, and we're boom, Romo's back, and we're off to the races. Okay, well, Romo came back, had a good game, and then had a bad game, and then got hurt. So. Here's the problem. Tony Romo is not
but we were 2-0
the greatest quarterback to ever live.
He had a bad game, but we were 2-0.
Okay, that's the issue that I have, is that you treat Tony Romo like he is the greatest quarterback to ever live. He's my favorite quarterback.
I don't.
He is he's one of the best Cowboys quarterbacks. But the issue is, when he comes back and he has to play the Bengals, if he gets back that early, he is going to lose.
He won't, but okay.
When he comes back and he has to play against the Packers at Lambeau in October, I don't see that being a W, being rusty, being just coming back off of an injury.
I don't think,
injury.
He's going to come back till after the bye week against Philadelphia. Honestly, that's when I
so
think.
So if he comes back then, so then if he – first of all, if that was actually the truth, they would have put him on the temporary IR and they wouldn't be wasting a roster spot on him, okay? And they would be pressuring him to come back. Chris, all it's going to take is the loss to the Redskins 0-2, and people are going to be begging Tony Romo to suit up for the 49ers game. I'm telling you right now. All it's going to take is a loss to the Redskins, and they will be begging him to suit up for the Bears game, for Chicago. Because you know, if they cannot beat the Giants and the Redskins, two of the most garbage franchises in recent history – if they can't beat them to start the season, which should have been a shoe-in 2-0 and momentum, they're not going to risk going to Chicago. No, hosting, even better, hosting Chicago and Jay Cutler and going 0-3 with the 49ers on the horizon. And then the Bengals, the Packers, the Eagles, Steelers, Ravens. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You may dog
well,
on the Bengals,
schedule,
but guess
when I said
what?
We
they
had
got an easiest... offense that works. You may dog
when I said
on the Packers,
the
but they
schedule.
Got an offense that works. You may dog
when I said
on
we had
the Steelers,
fourth easiest
but they got an offense that works.
Well, our schedule, luckily for us, Well, actually, not so luckily now after today's loss, but our schedule, luckily for us, was easy through pretty much through October until about second week of October. Then you had some meat. Then you had some games that are going to be grind out, you know, good, solid win games if we can get them. And then we trails off at the end. Okay, so if we need to make a playoff push late in the season, we've got an easy schedule late in the season. I thought for sure a bulk of our losses, if we were going to have 5-6 losses, whatever it may be, a bulk of our losses were going to be right in that chunk in the middle, the Cincinnati, the Pittsburgh, the possibly Green Bay, the, you know, whatever it may be. I got to look at it again. But that's where I thought that they were going to come. Obviously today I thought we were going to obviously win this game, and we should have, honestly. If Terrence Williams learned how to get out of bounds and learned that, you know, okay, you don't need to worry about getting yardage, you need to worry about getting your ass out of bounds, because he tried to make a juke and get more yards, I don't know what went through his mind. I'm going to watch post-game press conferences after this and try to figure it out. But if he figures that out, despite the sloppiness of Zeke, despite the sloppiness of the offensive line, despite the sloppiness of our terrible defense, Dan Bailey nails that. We win this game, we're 1-0. Okay? We did what we needed to do to get into Dan Bailey field goal range. And hell, I think Dan Bailey could have kicked it from where, from, honestly, you watched that 56-yard field goal, he could have hit it from 70. Okay? So I think he actually could have hit that field goal from where Dak threw it from. Honestly. Okay, so I really think that we did what we needed to do. We showed that we're not going to get blown out of the water, that we can stay in football games. And we showed that there's some fight there with this team. And like I said, I know I've said this a couple times now, but last year we would get a touchback and we could not get past the 50-yard line. It was 3 and out. I mean, I'm looking at last year's schedule. We scored 6 points, 10 points, you know, 7 points, you know,
Chris,
13.
You can't score
okay
in the red zone. It's just as bad, man. It's frustrating when you can move the ball, and then all of a
it's
sudden
when
you get inside
it's,
the 20.
It's one game.
It's garbage.
It's one game.
It's not just one game, though, Chris. You want to know why? It's why? 3 seasons. Because even when Romo was at the helm, we were a bad red zone team. The last four years, we've been a bad red zone team. We've never been the team that gets in the red zone and you might as well just book it. It's going to be a touchdown. It's never been like that.
True.
We've never been that strong in the red zone. We've been a big play team. We've been a team that throws from the 40 on the other side of the 40 and then Dez catches it deep and then shreds them and goes in for a touchdown. Or Terrence Williams, you know, a J.J. Watt broken sack to Terrence Williams for a 50-yard touchdown. That's the team we are. And then we were get in the red zone, pound the rock, and then see it what DeMarco Murray could make of it. But even in 2014, we were not a shoe-in in the red zone. So that's the issue I have, is now same goddamn problem, different quarterback. And that's what frustrates me. Same damn problem, different high praise running back who can't find a gap. That's what frustrates me. Guys like Maurice Jones-Drew were fantastic because they were little and they found the holes that the big guys couldn't find. I hate to break it to you, Ezekiel Elliott's not that much different than a Maurice Jones-Drew. He's small. He should be able to find those gaps. He should not be playing power ball. He shouldn't just be sitting in the middle trying to take on the big guys. That was stupid. That was 50 very, very miserable yards on, I think, 20-something carries. Terrible. It was just god-awful.
It wasn't pretty, I'll give you that. But again, you know, we are the yin and the yang here. 9 minutes left to go in this one. 713-955-0359.
Hashtag bring
I know
back DeMarco.
That's not going to happen, unfortunately. But yes, I never wanted to let him go. I wanted there to find a way to be able to keep both
him
and
by the way, what did we replace him with? What was that money that we couldn't afford to give him? What did we spend the $8 million on? Because I know we got $6 million available. So
why don't you tell us was part of that giving Carr $50 million?
No, that was long before that because Derek, what's his face, dipshit Carr took a pay cut. Oh,
that's
it
right.
wasn't
okay.
anything to do with Carr. Not only did Carr take a pay cut, Witten took a pay cut, Romo took a pay cut. I think they restructured what's-his-face, who just signed the big deal, Crawford. They've restructured across the board. They had more than enough money when they needed to. The O-line, some of the what's-his-face, Smith restructured, and yet DeMarco's sitting in Tennessee.
Yeah,
and we're no longer 12
and
4.
No, but again, you know, my optimism could be my downfall, or my optimism could be the reason why I'm, you know, not pulling my hair out and not smoking a pack of cigarettes. So, I mean, I honestly feel okay. Like I said, I don't feel the doom about it. Normally, Cowboys lose, and I'm depressed for a week, and my whole week sucks, and, you know, nothing goes right, and I don't want to talk to anybody, and I'm sulking around. That's not the case with this one. This is a one-point game, okay? And last year...
Those hurt more. I'd rather be blown
out.
Oh,
no. Of course they hurt more, yes. But I'm saying I'm looking at what happened to the Giants last year, okay? When Eli came down, or excuse me, yeah, that Tony came down, rather, and scored at the final 8 seconds to win that game. Now, sure, I was losing my mind. Sure, I was happy. Sure, that was it was everything was great and dandy and all that. But I don't know. I just – I'm not upset with it. It's a long season. We have until December, and we don't know what's going to happen. We have seen teams at, you know, 500 in November or a game under 500 in November make the playoffs. We have seen teams win divisions starting 0-2. Starting 0-3, whatever it may be, we're in a division right now where this division is just going to beat the hell out of each other. Okay, I think all these teams are pretty even. Now, call them evenly shitty, sure, but they're all pretty even. And you've got the Giants, I think, have that offense. Defense didn't really show me too much today, but they have that great offense. You've got the Eagles, who you can't really give this win any credit because they beat the Browns. Okay, so we'll see how they actually do next week against a real opponent. But then you've got the Redskins, who won the division by default last year at 9-7 because all the teams were pretty terrible. So this is a division that's going to beat the hell out of each other. The winner of this division, like it or not, I'm not saying we need to be 12-4. I'm not saying we need to be, you know, 10-6, 11-5. The winner of this division is going to be 8-8 or 9-7. I'm just telling you right now, that's going to happen. And all you got to do is get there, is get to the playoffs. And, you know, whatever our matchup may be, all you got to do is get to the dance to have a chance. And if we can win this division at 9-7, if we can win it at 8-8, I'll take it, okay? I'm not sitting here saying with this defense, with a rookie quarterback playing for God knows how many weeks, with – you know, the offense not quite clicking because of the young moving parts. I'm not necessarily saying – I didn't say before the season we were going to be 12-4. I would joke around with people and say, oh, we're going to be 12-4, ha, ha, ha. But realistically, I thought best case – best case scenario, 11-5 with the talent that we actually do have. But I thought maybe worst case – oh, obviously worst case is not winning a game. But I thought we'd be right around 9-7, 10-6. And is that still possible? Hell yeah, of course it's possible. You know, as much as you might not think that it is, we do have an easy second half of the season. We do have the capability where if we do get Romo back and he is firing on all cylinders and this offense is playing well and Zeke does find himself to be able to make that push late in the season, whereas the Giants' schedule is brutal through the end of the season. Same thing with, you know, the Eagles. Same thing with Washington. All those teams that we look at the middle of our schedule, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Baltimore is nothing special, but they're always a ground-and-pound tough team. You know, Green Bay, we don't play Minnesota this year, but other teams in our division will play those. You know, we do play Minnesota because we play that division. So, yeah, we do have Minnesota and Detroit. Those tough teams, the Minnesotas, the Green Bays, those come later in the season for those other teams. Those are the teams that they're struggling for a playoff bid, and they got to beat, you know, a first-place team in the AFC, and they struggle. Meanwhile, we're playing the Browns. Okay, so we are okay at this point. 0-1 in the NFL doesn't mean anything. The Carolina Panthers are 0-1, and I think a lot of people are saying that they're going to be the NFC representative to the Super Bowl again. Okay, so I'm not super concerned about 0-1. We fall to 0-2. Okay, I start to sweat a little bit. Okay, but 0-1, brushing my shoulders off, I'm saying, you know what, it was an exciting game. It sucks that we lost. And there were some things about it that I liked, that I took out of it that I thought were great, and some things that I liked that I took out of it that I thought were terrible. But it's week one, okay, and that's what I'm chalking it up to. I'm going to be out there with you, hopefully, if that's cool, next week to watch the Redskins game, because I've never seen a game with you in person. I don't know if it's really a safe environment to be in, but who knows? We'll see. And then we'll do the show out there. But if we can go to 1-1, okay, if we can go to 1-1 with a terrible Chicago and a terrible San Francisco looming on the horizon and potentially be 2-1, 3-1, we'll be in good shape. And I'm not worried. So again, 0-1, this is not college football. You lose one game and your season is shot. I think we're all right now. It's a one-point game. It's not like the Giants came out and beat us by 30. Okay, had that happened, I'm like, all right, season's over, guys. Done. Wrap it up. Okay, I mean, until Romo comes back, let's just put the kibosh on this. No, it was a game that we arguably, I'm going to go as far as to say, should have won had Terrence Williams realized what a clock is. Probably would have won. So it's not something that I'm going to necessarily get all bent out of shape over right now. Honestly, I'm chalking it up as that should have won it. Let's move on to next week and see how we do against Washington before a couple of easy games in a row. So, minute 57 to go here. The Stars Align show returns. We're coming to you live after every single Dallas Cowboy game, whether it's daytime, nighttime, whatever it may be. Hopefully, we won't have another bitch fest like we do tonight. Hopefully, we'll be able to come on the air and start off with this.
You did one hell of a job, and the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
Yeah!
Hopefully we'll be able to come on with that, and hopefully we'll be talking about how great the offense looked, or how good that last stop was, or the passion the players played with. I didn't want the first show to turn out this way, but hey, sometimes things don't always go as planned. So I am here, Chris McSwiggin. Of course, Dustin Bork is with us as well. We're going to sit here and watch the New England Patriots. I'm anxious to see the Arizona Cardinals. I think personally the Cardinals are the Super Bowl representative for the NFC, despite the Panthers. I think the Cardinals are a damn good team, and I'm going to watch them beat the Patriots right now, or at least hopefully anyway. So sorry out there to all my Patriots compadres, but that's how I feel. So we're here, and again, I'm getting some comments from all of you on the Facebook Messenger and everything. You guys are loving what we're talking about right now. Obviously, a little phone shy, but that's okay. People are listening at least. I'm getting a lot of good feedback, so I love that. Again, we are out of here. Stars Align. We will see you next week live from New Hampshire, where Dustin and I will be watching the Redskins game, and hopefully our Cowboys will be watching.
I say la, 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 la.